Northside today, 90.3 Near FM with Gilbert O'Sullivan. Why, oh why? That was actually released back in the 70s, around the Christmas period as well. And before it, we had Whitney, How Will I Know. Now I'm joined with Martin Quinn. He's from Dublin Cycling Campaign. We're going to be talking about a number of issues for cyclists. Good morning, Martin, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Martin, we start off in relation to the Liffey Cycle Route project. It was confirmed a couple of weeks ago that it's going to be delayed again, and it's not expected to open until at least 2024. What are your views on mixing, you know, cyclists with buses, taxis and other motorists along the quays in this year, like 2019? Aren't we well behind the times compared to the rest of Europe?
Absolutely. I actually cycled on Sunday. I cycled from Euston Station into a O'Connell Bridge, and it was horrendous. It was just torture. And after 8 years, we still have no solution. And actually, Dublin Cycling Campaign are actually having restoring our monthly cycles along that route, campaigning for have segregated cycle lanes along the Liffey.
I believe there's a petition calling on Dublin City Council, NTA also, National Transport Authority, and Minister for Transport, to trial a cycle path on Dublin's quays in 2020 and to look at the building, you know, at building a wider quick build cycle network. A petition, you know, to trial and test it. It's going to be for at least 8 months. What's your view on this?
I think it's absolutely brilliant. It can be done in the summertime when the kids are in school, or not in school, I should say, and all it takes is a cement 2 foot high cement block that will be about 3 meters wide, 2 meters wide. It can be done for minimal cost. And as you say, we have a campaign. We've got over 2,200 signatures in 2 weeks, which is phenomenal. And I would suggest that people would go on the Dublin Cycling Campaign and sign on for that petition. It's a quick win. It's low-hanging fruit. It can be done in the summertime when the kids are back in school, and just see how it goes. I think after 8 years, it's still been put on the long finger. 2024, and God knows what will happen in 2024. It may never go ahead.
Yes, of course. And if anybody wants to sign the petition, it's at, I think, myuplift.ie. Would that be correct?
That's correct. But it's also, right, if you go to Dublin Cycling Campaign on Facebook, you can see the link for it there as well.
All right, OK. On a separate note, recently your chairperson, Kevin Baker, and vice-chairperson, Louise Williams, they represented Dublin Cycling Campaign at the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Transport. Tell us about what they talked about, what they discussed, and what kind of response was received.
Well, they talked about basically all the issues that cyclists have in Dublin with regards to bus connects. We're jointly in favour of bus connects, 200 kilometres, which is fantastic. It was also a meet and greet, insofar as a lot of those politicians didn't know who we really were, didn't know our faces. And we have a new chairman with Kevin Baker. So it was also, and Louise represents Women on Wheels. So it was basically a meet and greet, and also showing our objectives and what we want to do going forward. So stuff like I say, bus connects, greater infrastructure, infrastructure priority, so stuff like that. So it went very well, and the politicians were very receptive.
Okay, excellent. And you mentioned earlier Women on Wheels in relation to Louise. How difficult is it for women out there cycling in Dublin? Is it true that there's a lot of abusive language, intimidation targeted at the women cyclists?
A lot of it is very subtle. Like, my girlfriend cycles, and she may be 3 or 4 metres ahead of me. And some of the things that I see that motorists do, intimidating her, it would never happen to me. I mean, I know there's always, I'm nearly 6 foot and she's 5 foot 2. So I think people have this perception that if you're a big guy, excuse me, you're not going to be harassed while you're, and generally speaking, if you're women are shorter and more light, there's a perception that they can intimidate women more.
Yes, I understand. And actually, research from Green Schools shows that most teenage girls have stopped cycling due to verbal harassment by, you know, teenage boys and men. And fewer than 250 teenage girls in Ireland actually cycle to school now. What's your opinion on that?
Well, actually, it's a very good point, because actually more teenage girls drive to school, even though they're just barely within the age group to drive. Excuse me. And so, yes, you're right. It's 250 over the whole country. If you see them on the street cycling to school, you should really congratulate them or take a picture. So that's such rare, it's just a rare event to see a young girl cycling to school. So yes, there are perceptions that it's uncool. They get hassled from their own generation. And also, sometimes it's just so easy to jump into a car, onto a bus, where you can look on your phone and you don't have to embrace the weather. So, yes, it's very rare to see girls cycling these days, and it's a sin.
Yes. Actually, I believe that 55% of cyclists in the Netherlands are actually female. Do you feel that this is an issue that needs to be addressed in Ireland for female cyclists?
Well, it comes down to infrastructure. When you go to Holland and Denmark, you see pregnant women cycling, something I've never seen in Dublin. So it comes down to infrastructure, and our infrastructure has to be off-road. We have to be segregated from motorists and buses, and there has to be a network insofar as you can't have stopgaps. You can't be cycling for 2 kilometres and have to go on the road for 500 metres. It just doesn't work. And in Holland and in Denmark and in Manchester and now London, we're now seeing integration and more women cycling. So, yes, it comes down to having 3 metres or 2 metres wide, a small little 2 or 3 centimetres height that separates from the road. All it takes is a little bit of cement.
Yes, of course. And leading on from this, actually, there's been some antisocial behaviour and recent attacks on cyclists. It's mainly at the west end of Grand Canal Greenway in Inchicore. One gentleman recently actually was almost killed about a week ago by a gang armed with metal rods who stole his bike. Apparently, the problem appears to be the stiles at the entrances. They aren't helping the situation. Is there any way that a proposal could be made to the council asking them to make, you know, changes to the stiles or replace them with an alternative along the Greenway, as they appear to be, you know, vulnerable areas there, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yes. You have to basically, it's one person at a time can only go through those stiles. So during rush hour, you actually get a backlog of cyclists, 5 or 6 cyclists all queuing up, waiting to get through the stiles. And on a dark, cold winter's night, you just don't want that. You don't know who it's lurking in the bushes sometimes. If anybody attacks anybody, you just can't get away. And that unfortunate individual, only for he was wearing a helmet, he may not have survived the attack. He was beaten by 2 guys with metal bars, and I've seen the pictures of his cycling helmet. It was massive dents in it, and only for that helmet, he probably wouldn't be here today with us. So we are pushing the council to open up the stiles. It's all it takes is a metre wide, and people can come and go. And yes, there are, you know, scramblers. Yes, there are people on horses. But that's a policing issue. And the council have to work with the guards and have proper patrols. I've never, ever, in all the years, I used to have cycle route every day. I've never seen a guard on a cycle going up and down on the beat. So, yes, it's a combination of things that have to be done. Open the stiles, more policing, and possibly more lighting.
Also earlier this year, European Cyclists Federation, they said that efforts by Irish government to include cycling measures in its climate action plan is a minimal effort, and it's unsatisfactory completely. What's your view on that?
I totally agree. Well, actually, 9 member states, Finland, Greece, Ireland, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Romania, Spain and Sweden, have made minimal efforts in reference cycling that we judge satisfactory, says Fabian Kuster, Senior Policy Officer in the European Cyclist Federation. I mean, that's there in black and white. And I've seen the proposals for this Climate Change Action Plan, and it's just incredible how cycling has not been mentioned. And even when we say we want to have an electric society going forward, i.e. electric cars, they never even mentioned electric bikes and or e-bikes. And also, there's quite a strong possibility that we will have electric scooters in the future, and that's not even mentioned. So even when we're going electric, even the micro mobility, i.e. bikes and scooters, are not mentioned. And also, don't forget, you have to charge electric scooter, electric bike. That electricity has to come from somewhere, while a normal cycle, bicycle, doesn't have to be charged. It's absolutely zero carbon outlays on it. So, I mean, it's totally unsatisfactory by the European group what they say about Ireland. And but not only, they have Sweden in there as well. So it's that was quite a shock for me. Yes, it is. It's been a letdown by the government.
Yeah, they've actually said that analysis of Ireland's plan draws a conclusion that cycling is not adequately represented as a fully-fledged solution to reduce carbon emissions. So that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Martin, absolutely. On a different note, as we all know, a bike is probably one of the best presents you can give your child at Christmas. Do you know of any tips on buying the right bike for your child or teenager?
Yeah, okay. When you go to the shop or store, and there's so many of them in Dublin these days, it's extremely important to allow your child to try the bike. Any decent shop would have an area where you can cycle around, do a few little loops in the shop, and let the child decide themselves. I mean, it's okay having a nice pink bike or a nice blue bike, but there's more to that. Listen to the child, take some feedback from them, let them sit on it, and are they happy with the height, are they happy with the handlebars? And also, you have to understand that a child will grow pretty quick. So allow, try and get a bike where the saddle is sitting down with no more, can't go down any further. So you can hire it a couple of inches higher when the kid grows older, the same with the handlebars. So you want to be thinking 2 or 3 years in advance in that respect. And also bear in mind that the bike may be handed down to some of the younger children as well. So try and get something that's a little bit sturdy that can take a few knocks. And also all the... no pun intended, but the bells and whistles, get a good lock. And children love combination locks. The locks where you tweak the numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or dates of birth. Children love that because it gives them a real contact with the real world insofar as it makes them aware, like bike theft, that you can't just leave your bike anywhere. And also, a lot of people have their bike stolen from their backyard or their gardens. And if you have a simple combination lock, it avoids thieves who are mostly opportunists and who will just take a bike that's not locked. So a decent, half-decent combination lock, and let the child try the bike out, see what they like. They know themselves, children aren't stupid, they know bikes. So that's my advice to you. And try and get a shop that's reputable, that you can, any problems, you can bring it back. And I mean, my local bike shop, I've been going there 20 years and I've built up a relationship. So that's important.
All right. What's your views on using stabilisers for younger kids as against balance bikes?
I think stabilisers are extremely important. The child is always momentum, always big events in life, like getting married or, you know, getting having children and all that. And one of the big events in life is the day your stabilisers are taken off. So I've always insisted on using stabilisers. They're only ever used for a couple of months and then they're taken off. So I would prefer to use stabilisers.
All right. Would you agree that a light bike, a lightweight bike, is easier to ride and far better than the heavy steel framed bike for children?
Yeah, I think so. But it's really down to the child themselves what they prefer when they're trying the bike. You may want to have your child having a heavy frame bike, but they may not want it and might just sit there in the backyard and never be used. So and it just comes down to safety-wise, they're both the same. Lightweight and heavyweight are both the same. It really comes down to what the child wants as well. And, once a bike is used, it'll always be used for the whole summer, for the whole winter. And the kids get great enjoyment out of it. And money-wise, pound for pound, it's a great investment for kids.
All right. Would you agree that gears are suitable for the age range, say, 6 to 10? And now I'm talking about, you know, the single chain ring at the front and a good spread of maybe just 5 or 6 at the back.
Yeah. 5 or 6 gears is enough for anybody. I know people who have 20 gears and they still stick between the 5 or 6 gears. And it makes the kids understand how gears work. And there's a level of learning there as well, even though the kids may only use 2 or 3 gears for the whole thing. But yes, I would, anybody or any kid over 8 years of what age, I would recommend having gears.
Okay. And finally, for no matter what age, wouldn't it be very important to buy the full bicycle kit, like the full kit, the helmet, lights, bright clothing, and so on. And as you mentioned earlier, the locks and the bells and so on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of people buy them, kids buy them on the back to work scheme as well. So you get €1,000 or so. A lot of people use the helmets, the aluminous, the lights to fill up the €1,000. But don't be afraid to ask. You know, you might get a discount on the helmet. You might get a discount on some of the lights. But lights are pretty cheap. But it's also educational. you get the kids to understand that it's a package. Buying a bike involves the lock, involves the helmet, involves the lumens, involves the lights. And so even on a bright summer's evening, they may not use it, but it's there. And also, it makes them aware, like, of health and safety. They may have a fall, and they may not have a helmet. So the next time, they will wear that helmet. So I would encourage children, or adults, I should say, to just go the extra mile and buy the accessories.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that, Martin, because time has caught up with us. And we did have a number of other issues to talk about. For example, the Fingal Coastal Way, DLR, Cycling Forum, the Transport SPC meetings and Bus Connects. But we can always have you on again early in the new year to tackle those ones. So thanks again, Martin, for joining us. And have a great Christmas, a happy new year, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you very much.
All the best. Now, that was Martin Quinn from Dublin Cycling Campaign. He was talking about a number of issues for cyclists.